The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
And I'm Matt Copper.
And, well, okay, normally you would hear a third voice right now introducing himself, yeah. But for the same reason why we haven't had a show in, what, a month?
At least,
yeah. Because
Life.
I want to start off by apologizing to all of our listeners that it's been a while, but
this was so much easier to do when we weren't allowed to go anywhere. We could just do it over Skype.
It was. And now that, you know, we're in your beautiful studio and we're totally spoiled before by it and all that, we just don't want to do it over the Skype and all that. So, but yeah, life and everything just kind of get in the way, and we're all busy with our other projects and all that. So yeah, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but the show kind of gets put on the back burner, but we're going to make up for it right now. I think we got a really cool episode because I want to give a shout out, horns up, and happy birthday to my good buddy and co-host, Mr. Matt Copper.
Okay.
Who just recently, how old are you now?
38.
38, so you're an old man now. Yeah.
That's why I don't know if y'all follow me on Facebook, I shared this clip from Gremlins 2, the elevator scene, and that's 38 was the floor she tried to go to, and the Gremlins are all in there going 38.
Yeah.
So that's my reference for this age. No idea what I'm gonna do next year for a reference, but we'll see if something comes to mind.
So I wanted to say hello and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you
to you for that. Mm-hmm. When you announced that it was your birthday, I'm waiting for the next message saying, "Yeah, we're all piling into my place. Bring your booze and all that.
Booze and burgers. And
We were going to do this and all that." And then I waited. And no fucking message came.
No party, no big party this year. I'll try to get something going next year. Or maybe it doesn't have to be necessarily my birthday for us to do that.
So. No, for sure. But for the record, I'm celebrating Matt's birthday tonight. I bought a big bottle of Fireball. We're watching the NXT Battleground as soon as we're done here. Yep. We're having some friends piling in tonight. So, yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll. We got, you know, we do have a little bit of catch up to do, but I think what really happened in the last month? Not much.
Depending on who you're talking to, but WrestleMania's next location got announced being in Las Vegas.
Right.
They announced that SummerSlam, not next year, but the year after that, is going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for 2 nights. Who knows? Maybe we'll make a trip over the border to go see that. If it's not, it's going to be so insanely expensive. But, but you know, we'll get nosebleed seats and get really drunk off of many, many American beers.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Well, I don't know. We're kind of, I don't know. Our Americans, like, we have lots of American friends, but I haven't done a whole lot of drinking with them.
Oh, I don't know.
Can Americans handle their liquor as much as we can?
Well, considering that Minneapolis has a team called the Vikings, I would hope that they could drink. True enough.
And there's the Milwaukee Brewers in Major League Baseball and all that. So, yeah, okay. I know, it would be interesting. I know, because I know, like, a lot of my American friends that I've met through this podcast and the Shining Wizards Network and Radioactive Metal and all that, they're just not big drinkers.
No. Well, which is good. I'm not even as big of a drinker as I used to be. But special occasions, you know, so, I'll have some Fireball later. But
Right on. Yeah. So, and good on everyone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, bottom line, a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about is relatively new because there was nothing going on for the last month.
Not a whole lot, but
so it kind of worked out for us. You know, I don't think there was any deaths that were missing.
Like AEW has just been kind of trudging along. Their three biggest new signings now all have belts. So Mercedes Moné, Will Ospreay, and Kazuchika Okada. They're all champions now. So, you know, I guess Tony Khan's getting what he paid for. I don't know if he can afford to hire anyone else.
if he can afford to buy any more belts.
Yeah. Well, Adam Copeland broke his leg, so he's out for a while. I mean, Gangrel returned at Double or Nothing.
That was
something.
That was actually something.
Yeah.
Were you unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not the thing you were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But was that a pleasant surprise?
It was. And, like, I liked how Edge for that match, like, they couldn't call him the Brood version of Edge. Or they couldn't call him Edge in general. But there was, like, references to his Brood era and couldn't use the music. But he came out to South of Heaven by Slayer that night, which I thought was pretty cool. So, kind of like what he did at WrestleMania 39 last year, but like instead they played the entire song on his way out this time. Yeah, he ended up breaking his leg because, you know, as a 50-year-old man, your body doesn't really hold up a lot.
Tell me about
it. As it used to. So now the TNT title is relinquished, unfortunately, and Vacant now has a hold of it. yet again.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
No. But, other than that, we got some things more recent to the time of recording. It is June 9th as we speak, and some stuff has happened in the past few days and weeks that we should probably talk about.
Okay. And I guess maybe first and foremost on everyone's minds and tongues has the Becky Lynch situation.
Yeah, so apparently her contract has run up. Recently, and she did not re-sign. So, nobody's really expecting her to go elsewhere, and she's just merely taking a well-deserved amount of time off to be with her daughter and with her husband Seth Rollins while he recovers from injuries. So, I'm pretty sure she must have some nagging minor injuries herself that she probably wants to nurse back to health too. So,
before
they end up getting worse, but. Yeah, her last match was that steel cage match for the Women's World title against Liv Morgan on Raw. And yeah, so that's probably the last we're going to see of her for quite a while.
Now, she might be breaking, you know, not the golden rule, but from a negotiation standpoint, like, did she come out and say, I'm taking some time off, but I'll be coming back to WWE?
No, she never really said anything.
Okay, maybe that's best. But,
yeah, because I can't see her showing up in AEW.
No?
No.
No, obviously she wouldn't be able to use the word Becky Lynch.
No, she'd be Rebecca Quinn.
Right, which is fine. That's a good name, and everyone would remember her and all that. But when Tony Khan, when you go out and you sign a bunch of people, ex-WWF, okay, you... Trademark is everything. Okay, you like The Undertaker. You know, if WCW took The Undertaker during the
Monday Night Wars,
during the Monday Night War, he would have been useless.
Yeah,
couldn't use Undertaker.
Call him the Dead Man.
Yeah, nothing. He would just be Mark Calloway.
Yeah,
and people don't care. Okay, and I've noticed this going back even to the 80s. When someone would leave the WWF and go to the NWA or to Stampede or whatever, like, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, no one, when they leave the WWF outside of the NWO, no one draws dick shit for that, because it's all about, you know, they only want to see these people in the WWF /
Yep.
That's why Mercedes Moné, okay, has done nothing in terms of,
drawing. Yeah.
You know, and moving the needle.
Because people aren't going to, like, look into being like, oh, what about, where's, like, because they know her as Sasha Banks.
Right.
They don't know her as Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, and no one cares about Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, and she's like the CEO. Instead of the boss, Sasha Banks, she's the CEO.
Right.
Mercedes Moné. Right. And everything about that just sounds like second-rate cheap knockoff.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like you use an alternative to boss. You used instead of Banks, it's money, but it's pronounced a certain way. It's
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Her real name is Mercedes, so I'll give her that. But majority of people know her exclusively as Sasha Banks.
Right.
So.
And they don't want to know her as anything else.
Yeah. They know her as the blue-haired girl who's related to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, if Rebecca Quinn, if she's going to mean anything to AEW.
No. That's why I can't see her showing up anywhere else. And like I said, I did say the same thing about Edge as well. So.
Right.
I said the same thing about Chris Jericho before AEW was even a thing.
Right.
But, yeah, when it comes to Becky, I can't really see her coming out on Dynamite or anything and having a bunch of people flip over, all of a sudden, getting on the horn with their friends and be like, man, Becky's on Dynamite!
Yeah, you better get over. Yeah, no, yeah. No one's doing that.
Maybe a handful of people, but, yeah, I can't really see it being a needle mover or even a possibility. And, just the weirdest thing to me about it is just that back in 2018, Becky Lynch was like the biggest character in WWE.
Yeah, in wrestling. Like,
in all of wrestling. She headlined WrestleMania that year, won both of the women's championships in that one match.
Two belts, Becky.
Yeah,
right?
Becky two belts. Becky two belts, yeah. But there was variations of it with other people. There was Bailey dose straps and two belts Banks. And,
yeah. Fuck, okay.
Yeah. Becky two belts. That was hard to believe. That was that long ago in 2018.
Mm.
That was 5 years ago now. Like, wow. Where did that time go? That was that was the last ever one night WrestleMania. Or no, so there was that was 2019. Excuse me. Yeah. So, 2019 WrestleMania 35. That was the last ever one night WrestleMania, and it was 8 hours long. And I was like, that is too long. That is too long for a fucking WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, I was stoked on her. Everyone was stoked on the character. She was massively popular when she made the character change to the man, Becky Lynch.
Right.
Yeah. And she had, like, multiple documentaries come out about her on the WWE Network. And, like, she was being interviewed by so many different medias outside of the WWE. And, like,
that's when it counts.
Yeah. And, like... Yeah. It was like she was famous, and then she got into, she dipped her toes into the world of acting, and as you do when you're a wrestler,
right?
When you get to a certain popularity level, and you have really when you've already won all the championships, and you're as popular as you are, and like she's won a Royal Rumble, headlined WrestleMania, didn't win Money in the Bank, but you know, and
that bitch.
Oh yeah,
he didn't.
Okay, she can't be Becky in the Bank.
Becky in the Bank. Wow. That's it. I used to like her. Yeah. Didn't win Money in the Bank.
Well, I think the only four horsewoman that actually did win Money in the Bank was Becky. Bailey.
Bailey, yeah.
Because Banks never... Sasha in the Banks. She never won it. Charlotte never won it, thank God. But she was cashed in on by Bailey in the same night, so maybe that counts for something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That was for the SmackDown Women's title went from like Charlotte beat Becky for it, and then Bailey cashed in on Charlotte in the same night. So, yeah, so it all went between three quarters of the four horsewomen, if that counts for something. But it's a little odd to think that Becky Lynch is not in the WWE right now.
Yeah. Would you like to see her in AEW or
no? I wouldn't. No. I don't think her character would really help or would really fit in over there, I guess. But considering that they already have a Sasha Banks, they don't need someone like Becky Lynch. In my personal opinion, then they already have Saraya, and they kind of didn't really do a whole lot with her.
Yeah, she's not moving the needle.
Yeah, so
no one is. No one in wrestling anymore.
No, it wouldn't really. It wouldn't be worth the time or Tony Khan's dad's money to, and like I said before, like, he probably doesn't have any money to hire Becky Lynch right now, because between Ospreay, Okada, and Banks, that's probably at least 40, 50 million that he's spending between the three of them.
There's got to be a time when dad says, oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Hold on, son.
I'm tired of, you know, fronting your real life action figures here.
More or less. Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, I know that's a Jim Cornette thing, but I kind of got to agree with them.
At this point, yeah.
I think this is what Tony Khan's doing. These AEW exists for his own personal entertainment.
In a lot of ways, AEW has kind of become a WWE circa 2019 with just the hotshot booking, things like people not being utilized properly and only being kept under contract just so they won't sign anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And like just people hanging out and catering. Like they have a good debut and then that's just about it.
Right.
Like, what happened to Keith Lee? Why?
Yeah, like, they pushed him to the moon and I...
He won the tag titles with Swerve Strickland, and now Strickland, out of those two, I didn't think Strickland would become world champion first.
Yeah.
But here we are. I don't want to see AEW sign really anyone for the time being. Just use what you got.
Use what you got, and maybe some people from the indies.
Yeah.
I'm always all for that.
Because they were doing that during the lockdown era when Cody Rhodes was TNT champion, which is a very weird sentence to say nowadays. The current WWE champion was the mid-card champion in AEW.
Right.
And he, like, they had a bunch of like indie guys coming up and like doing the open challenge thing for the TNT title. That's how Eddie Kingston got signed to AEW in the first place.
Right.
And they had guys like Warhorse, like another indie guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
I think he still wrestles in the indies, but he never signed an AEW contract.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, he never became All Elite. So a lot of those guys just kind of signed on for one-off appearances. And ever since they got rid of Dark and Dark Elevation, you don't really see any or many indie guys showing up in AEW, unless it's on Ring of Honor, which that's a whole other topic of conversation for another time. Right. What that brand has become.
And I'm also don't really, it's good for them because, you know, it's a paycheck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they bring up in one of the indie guys and then they just get squashed, I'm kind of like,
you could at least have given them a good showing.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know.
You know, but, you know, it's not that hard, people.
No, it really isn't. Like,
it is. I would like to see, and this is a wrestling pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never going to happen. But Rebecca Quinn in the NWA or
TNA.
Or TNA.
Well,
sign me up.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about TNA in relation to WWE in just a second. But, like, Tony Khan, I know he's, like, super hyped up about having his own wrestling companies. Like, he's got AEW, and he also has Ring of Honor now. So, the problem is that he's booking both. And, he's like, writing the stories, and apparently he's making a lot of last-second changes to the script the day of, just like Vince McMahon used to.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I know it's not my business to tell someone what to do with their business, but come on, man. Like, hire a head of creative get Bryan Danielson. He's retiring pretty soon.
Yeah.
Get him to be head of creative for Ring of Honor.
Get a wrestling guy.
Yeah. Get like guys like Christopher Daniels to be head of creative for AEW. Like,
right.
Like, you're doing, like, I understand that the guy has a passion for pro wrestling. He grew up as a fan, as so did you and I.
You and I, yeah.
So, but I don't believe I could write an entire show every week, let alone three.
We could put our hand in there. We could be part of a committee of others, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe have, like, guys, like... Well, and you have an entire Jim Ross right there too. Like,
I'm sure he's got some ideas. I'm sure Jim knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah, and then just like, and have Shivani tell you all the things that Vince Russo would do, and then not do those things. Like, I'm like, you have Nigel McGuinness there. Like, if McGuinness and Danielson ran Ring of Honor, they can make it as good as it used to be.
As it once was, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure. In kayfabe, weren't those the two that created the Code of Honor or something?
Well, they were. They were one of the originals.
Yeah, from back in 02. Yeah.
When it first started. Like I said, I have some old Ring of Honor DVDs from back then. I got to bring them here. Let's just sit down and do a Ring of Honor marathon. Like, yeah. So much good stuff.
I'm pretty sure all of the Ring of Honor champions are just aren't even Ring of Honor guys. Like, the Ring of Honor titles, I don't even think appear on Ring of Honor television. They're just on the pay-per-views. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you know there's a problem. Like, if every NXT champion was on Raw and SmackDown, people would be upset. And thankfully, that's not the case. But yeah, that's kind of how it is with Ring of Honor and AEW. And that's the equivalent. Let's be honest here. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And
kind of went off on the rails there a little bit, I said what I had to say.
That's right. Damn it.
That's what the podcasts are for.
Right. Ricochet is. Kind of, maybe, sort of in the same boat as Becky Lynch. Like,
news came out just the other day, as we speak, that he put in his notice that he will not be re-signing with the company, and when his contract expires this summer, which I don't know exactly when that is,
right?
But it'll be this summer. He'll be leaving WWE to go on to other ventures. Whether that means showing up in AEW or TNA, I'm not sure. But again, the relationship between TNA and WWE is a bit strange or a bit unknown at the moment.
Right.
So we'll get into that in like I said in a few minutes.
Right. Right. Once again, Ricochet I can see him going to AEW.
I can too, but there's a lot of talent there that he can potentially have some great matches with that he's had on. In the past, right. me and our former co-host Mike Mason talked about it earlier today. I'm just gonna bring up, just gonna bring up our conversation here and okay, I said that I'm not sure AEW would use him properly either, but I would love to see Ricochet versus Will Ospreay again on a bigger stage because those two have had indie matches together and they've been great. And he went on to say, Ospreay, Rey Fénix, Pentagon Jr., both Young Bucks, Jack Perry, Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson. He says DBD on here. Wheeler Yuta, Switchblade Jay White, Juice Robinson, and so on. All those guys having matches with Ricochet would be amazing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, the storylines will develop as they do. But again, that's also been a problem for AEW. It's so many dream matches, but so few actual stories that run long.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the same problem would be can't call him Ricochet.
That's true, or maybe they could. I don't know if he owns that or not because he was Ricochet before he came to WWE.
Oh, okay. So then maybe just like Samoa Joe.
Yep. Or
CM Punk.
Or maybe he'll don the mask once more and he'll be Prince Puma
again. I'm in for that.
unless whoever owns Lucha Underground has exclusivity rights to Prince Puma.
Who cares what they say?
Okay.
Well, no, you can't really do that. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has a lawyer that needs to justify their existence.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I know all about that with Radioactive Metal.
Oh, yeah, the cease and desist orders.
You can't play this song.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm just giving you free exposure.
Yeah.
You know, but okay.
Yeah, there's a whole hierarchy of shit you got to go through in order to get permission to play something.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
Really?
That's why I don't bother with any major labels.
I don't blame you.
There are certain independent labels that I'm kind of like, they've never given me static before, but they're getting a little too big.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what, besides, I'll give my time to an artist that could use the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I like to look at it. So, yeah, Ricochet in AEW would be good.
Yeah, I could see him. if he did show up in TNA, there's a couple matches there that you'd like Ricochet versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
Oh,
like,
count me in, yeah.
Yeah, I'd buy that for a dollar. Even him potentially showing up in like other promotions like GCW. Like, I mean, why not? Look at how Matt Cardona reinvented his career by going to GCW. Geez. Like,
yeah, and it just seems like GCW just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and like Joey Janela is there too, and like Mance Warner, John Moxley kind of went between them and AEW for a while. So yeah, like that GCW is also not off the table. MLW isn't off the table. Like,
right? Yeah, like, yeah.
There's a lot of places where Ricochet has his options, and I bet he's going to be getting a lot of offers from every single one of them. So whether he wants to make money or have creative freedom, that's up to him. But I imagine if making money was his thing, then he wouldn't be leaving WWE in the first place.
Yeah, so, yeah, he would just do whatever and just collect a check.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you brought up TNA. Through the course of a discussion with talent regarding the WWE. That makes me think about one Jordynne Grace.
Oh, yep.
What exactly is going on there? She's the current TNA Impact Champion.
Knockouts Champion.
Yes.
She's the current TNA Knockouts Champion, and she just showed, like, well, I'm pretty sure everybody by now knows that in January in the Royal Rumble, she was a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. Obviously got eliminated, didn't win the thing.
Right.
And then people were speculating then, like, oh, is there going to be a working relationship between TNA and WWE? And it kind of went silent for a little while until like 2 weeks ago when she just showed up on NXT with the Impact Women's title or the TNA Women's title on her shoulder. And as being announced as Roxanne Perez's next challenger for tonight's NXT Battleground.
I was just about to say that's on Battleground tonight.
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
So tonight, it's not title for title. It's just for the NXT Women's Championship.
Oh, okay.
But, reports were that Jordynne Grace only signed on to have three appearances. So the initial appearance, and then she had a match on this week's NXT TV, and then tonight's match against Roxanne Perez. But so you might think she's not going to win, but I mean, she could.
Who knows? Who knows? This will be after the fact. Okay. Cause it always takes a couple days to get, you know,
editing and whatnot.
Yeah. Who do you got? Who are you cheering for as a wrestling fan? Not as a armchair booker. Who as a wrestling fan? Because I like, she was Roxy
from and she
the
wasn't
dying
TNA.
Days of
ROH, like the original ROH,
the real ROH.
ROH,
yeah,
But and she was like Roxy was also in TNA for a cup of coffee too, wasn't she?
Yes,
yeah, okay. yeah. Well, I don't know. Like she's now playing the heel character, and like with Jordynne Grace being like who she is, like in physical stature, I can imagine it's going to be a lot of like shady tactics on Roxanne's part. So if she does win, there's either going to be a surprise run in, possibly another debut, and some chicanery going on. But if not, who knows? Jordynne Grace might beat her straight up. Or we might see a heel turn from someone already on the roster. But I'm going to pull for Jordynne Grace because I just think it would be really cool to see a TNA talent winning an NXT championship.
Yes, me too, because I'm just a bigger fan of TNA than I am the WWF.
Okay.
But, or even NXT.
Yeah, but this past Wednesday on NXT, Jordynne Grace, when she came up for a match on the back of her jacket, it said NXT TNA.
Okay.
So there is speculation now that the WWE and TNA are going to be working together in some form or fashion, like beyond this little appearance from Jordynne Grace walking through the what is it called? It's not the Forbidden Door because Tony Khan owns that, so you can't call it that. So Jordynne Grace has put out a T-shirt called with her walking through the Prohibited Portal.
Ah, so, okay.
So now people are speculating who's going to be the next one to walk through the prohibited portal. A lot of people want Joe Hendry to show up in WWE.
He is WWE material.
Yeah.
Like the whole gimmick. And like, yeah, and I believe I don't, in Joe I don't want Hendry. Him to leave.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the song and the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that was a WWE creative idea. You know?
Well, who knows? Maybe we will see Joe Hendry show up on NXT in the coming weeks and months. Drew McIntyre has already teased going back to TNA for an appearance here and there.
He could probably even be called McIntyre then.
He can.
See, that was another example of what I was saying earlier this very show.
Yeah.
No one cared about Drew Galloway.
Nope.
You know, you and I did.
Yeah.
But because
we knew who he was.
We're wrestling psychos, okay?
Yeah.
But Joe Average wrestling fan or Joe Public, like, they don't care about Galloway.
Yeah.
They care about McIntyre.
Like, well, and say, like, if Mr. L.A. Knight were to go back there, would they call him Eli Drake or would they call him L.A. Knight? Like.
yeah. Which I think he would, as Eli Drake, he wouldn't have to change his name to go to TNA or the NWA. Well, I guess the NWA, there's nothing there. He would have to be Eli Drake.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to TNA to press guest spots or whatever, I guess if they have some sort of working agreement, they can call him LA Knight. I mean, wish they wouldn't.
It's essentially the same character.
Right.
They just needed something with the same amount of syllables so he could do the pointing thing.
Yeah.
At least he's not Max Dupree anymore.
There we go. I'm just afraid if there is a talent swap, I don't want the TNA guys
getting the short end
coming
of the stick.
In, just getting jobbed out.
Don't really see that happening. Being that if it was still if Vince McMahon was still in the company, that wouldn't happen. B, if it did, yes, absolutely, all the WWE guys would trounce them. Yeah, would trounce them.
Like
welcome to the big times, kid. Like that that whole mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, WWE did that within their own system with NXT guys. Like when the NXT guys would come up to the main roster, it's like, oh, these guys aren't ready for the big time on Raw and SmackDown. They gotta lose to these big sweaty men.
That's a Vince,
Yeah, but we're in the Triple H era, and the Triple H era is different from the Vince McMahon era.
Thank God. Jeez.
Like, at least they can now call people wrestlers and call it professional wrestling on WWE programming again.
You'd think, you know, Snowy Matt, why are you bitching about that? It's just a minor thing. No, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I like wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't like superstars.
Wrestlers are not super. Well, they still do refer to them as superstars, but I think the term sports entertainment has been done away with because at the closing, I think I mentioned this on our last episode, in the closing minutes of WrestleMania 40, Michael Cole said, "This is Michael Cole of all people, like Vince McMahon's former puppet of all things." To put not too fine a point on it. actually said the words, I love professional wrestling. And I was just like, there we go. That right there to me was like the signaling of the Triple H era, the new era coming into effect with like Cody winning the WWE championship and then actually saying professional wrestling. And they even go on like on WWE TV, they go on to call it professional wrestling and they say in all of professional wrestling, or these men are professional wrestlers. And they still do call them superstars, but they don't say, I haven't heard anyone say sports entertainment.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, they don't.
That's good.
They don't say stupid shit like medical facility, or they're allowed to call them belts again. They're like, no, they're championship titles. A belt holds up your pants. It's like, well, technically it's a cummerbund, but
well, when the WWF/E allows blood on TV, then okay, I'm fully in. But I also understand that's a network television decision.
Yeah, well, the Rock was allowed to do it to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah,
but
he's the Rock.
Because he's Dwayne fucking Johnson.
Yeah.
Special privileges.
It's weird how the one station, like, what's WWF on now?
Raw and NXT are on the USA Network, and SmackDown is on Fox.
Okay.
That's about to change, though, at the end of this year.
Right.
Because with Raw's moving to Netflix, and in the States, SmackDown is moving to the USA Network again.
Okay.
And NXT is moving to the CW. But up here, Sportsnet is losing all of their WWE rights, and all WWE programming is moving to Netflix come January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. WWE, you're going to have their own channel on Netflix.
On Netflix. Yeah. Oh, I'm good with that.
Yep.
I'm good with that. We already have a subscription.
Yep. I canceled my Netflix subscription a couple months ago, but by the time WWE moves to Netflix, that's still enough time. They said 10 months. They said, we'll give you 10 months and all your information will still be there about your account. And I'm just like, okay, perfect. That's just enough time
for when
WWE goes back there. So in the meantime, though, I don't really use it, and I don't want to pay $25 a month for something that I'm not using.
Right. Like, no,
sparsely.
That's fair ball.
Yeah.
I actually prefer this. I would, because I guess with Netflix, I guess it would be live.
Yes.
But it would be archived.
Yes, and you can watch it, afterwards. So,
count me in for that.
Okay.
And as, like, a regular sports fan as well, if that gives, like, up here, Sportsnet, if that gives a block of time for another sports league. Yeah. Like, okay, that's good.
Yep.
I get both. I can watch both.
And there won't be any preemptive episodes of wrestling.
Because the dog show is
the dog show, the child's spelling bee or the darts tournament.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I love me a good kid spelling bee.
Oh, of course.
Because I try to go word for word with them, and more often they beat me.
Yeah. You know? you end up hating kids.
Yeah. That's
for a brief minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
But I am looking forward to it. But the thing is that the way the AEW product is right now, I don't know if it's enough to have me keeping my cable subscription going. So I think I might can that and then just move to strictly internet. Maybe save because the WWE Network won't be a thing anymore because all that's going to be on Netflix as well.
Oh, okay.
So
the stuff that I want on the network.
Yep. I don't know if it'll all be immediate, but eventually all of the stuff on the WWE Network is going to be moving over to Netflix Canada.
Yeah, because they own, like, some world-class stuff and WCW stuff.
AWA.
AWA.
Yeah. Old WCW.
I'm in for that.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
in for that.
Yep. They'll have all that, if not like I said, probably not immediately, but eventually. So the WWE Network will cease to be a thing, and I can't really, without all the WWE stuff and all that, and I can buy AEW pay-per-views on YouTube now. I don't need a cable subscription to buy them over pay-per-view.
Okay. So, well, we're still going to have TSN because, like, sports.
Right.
So Wednesday night, you guys just pile into my place.
We could do that. Yeah.
For Dynamite. So.
You don't want to do Saturday Night Collision?
I don't even watch Collision.
Oh, no, neither do I. It's never on. Yeah. So it's always preempted for something else.
And Rampage is on Friday night or
It's like sometimes it's been on Wednesdays immediately after Dynamite. Sometimes it's been on Saturdays immediately after Collision. Like, the Rampage keeps moving around. It's inconsistent. So, starting to remind me a lot of WCW.
that's not good for ratings.
No.
And it's not just for wrestling or anything. That's how a lot of sitcoms.
That's how Futurama got canceled.
Yeah, because once you start moving them around.
People don't know when they're on.
When they're on.
Yeah.
And so they don't stop to. Well, I better look in my TV guide to see where Futurama is on this week. Yeah,
Futurama, when they were on Fox, they actually used to poke fun. Then in the Star Trek episode, they actually poked fun at that, the fact that they got moved around in that episode when Captain Kirk was like, was like, it was like Captain's Log, air date unknown.
Fox is actually the most entertaining thing going on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with TV programs or SmackDown, but they're political programs because it's all pro Trump and it's all far right. That stuff is just hilarious.
Oh, it writes itself. But yeah, it's like, yeah, man, I know.
Don't worry, I'm not going to get on a soapbox.
No, it's fine. I agree with you on that terms. Like, I also agree that there are people similar to that on the left side of things when it comes to extremism. But
there are
just watching clips of like, okay, well, this sort of relates to wrestling because it involves Kid Rock.
Watching
Kid Rock on a recent episode of Fox News being interviewed, forgetting that he was wearing an Anheuser-Busch hat after the whole fucking like Bud Light thing.
Yeah.
And on the way, and my parents actually went to his bar in Memphis recently, and they were selling Bud Light there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the whole thing was just for show.
It's a sham, yeah.
But like when the news anchor on Fox News like pointed out that he was wearing an Anheuser-Busch hat, his reaction when he just went like, "Oh shit! I forgot I had this on."
Yeah. Well, it's a cool hat.
Yeah.
And there's more important things we got to think about.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, that was the biggest thing on your plate.
Yeah,
a year ago.
That made you like semi-relevant for like a couple
for a
of
little
weeks.
While.
Yeah.
And now. Okay, and I don't want to turn this into a conservative bashing thing, but now I see all these things on Facebook, and they're parody sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Jason Aldean and Kid Rock are, their tour is now outdrawing Taylor Swift. And it's like, no, it's not.
No,
Jesus himself could come back.
That is impossible.
You know?
Like...
No, yeah, like Taylor Swift is...
She's selling
the biggest
out stadiums.
Thing. Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift by any means,
but
I'm not, yeah. I also know how to separate fiction from reality.
Right. Right. So these artists aren't, yeah, because like when Swift played Toronto, I believe she did three nights
at the Sky Dome?
Rogers
Place
or
whatever it's called now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jesus himself. wouldn't fill that unless the tickets were free.
That's debatable. I think even some non-believers would be like, really?
Yeah, he's well, okay. Yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, he's back from the dead. I want to see a ghost.
Yeah, I may as well. Okay. May as well go see what it's about. Yeah.
But my point is, and like, I'm not a Swiftie, obviously.
No.
I couldn't name a song. You know, if I was to hear a song, and then my wife would say, yeah, that's a Taylor Swift song. It's like, oh, I know that song. Didn't know that was her.
Yeah.
But I recognize that
like,
song.
I know the song, but yeah, that's a thing that I always like have trouble with, too. It's like, oh, yep, I know this song,
I
have no clue who it's by.
Who the artist was.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I'm kind of not a full-on Swiftie, but just the fact that she... pisses off so many Republicans just by existence. Like when I was a teenager in the 80s, there was the Satanic Panic.
Oh yeah,
Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, horror movies.
Rob Halford was in court trying to explain
right.
to people why, yeah, why right. it's not necessarily.
Well,
like,
that was a real thing.
Oh, I know.
And for a while there, it got a little scary because people were getting. Artists were getting arrested,
mm-hmm.
records were being taken off the shelves and burnt, and you know, yeah. So now the Satanic Panic 2024 is Taylor Swift.
More or less, yeah.
It's like, God, are you guys killing me? Like, this is hilarious. Wow.
Well,
okay.
It's like they say, history likes to repeat itself.
It is. So, yeah, we're like Satanic Panic Mach 2.
Well, yeah.
I'm kind of enjoying it.
The Satanic Panic was, what, 40 years ago now?
If it was in the 80s?
The
mid-80s.
So we're due for another.
Yeah. definitely. Speaking about a hell of a long time ago, but it doesn't seem to go away. I don't know. I guess it was aired. It's being aired on the Crave channel,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets put onto the streaming service. But I just the other day, I sat down and episode one of Who Killed WCW is up.
Yep,
and it focused on Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's one of the culprits.
Keep in mind though that this series is produced by Dwayne Johnson.
It is.
So you know, TKO board member Dwayne Johnson, who owns WWE.
Right. So. Right. And by proxy owns WCW.
Yeah.
Okay. So
no chance of bias at all in this.
Not at all. I checked out the first episode.
Okay.
And it never educated any, like it focused on Bischoff
mm-hmm.
and everything about it. I already knew
mm-hmm.
how he got his start. Everything that he did in the AWA. Like I was there. I was a big fan of the AWA, even in its dying days when the only two people watching the AWA was my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was it. We were the only ones watching the AWA.
Yeah, as far as WCW goes, like I know he started off as like a backstage interviewer and a commentator.
Yeah. And the position came available,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the head guy. Okay. And he just kind of threw his name in the hat, not really knowing, and then sure enough they tapped him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well now what am I going to do? And he went through the whole thing of that horrible period in the early 90s when no one cared if WCW lived or died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even though they brought Hulk Hogan,
Like in 94, I think they brought Hogan in. Yeah.
And no one cared except for Hogan and Bischoff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also have to remember that Bischoff had Ted Turner's checkbook.
Right.
So.
Right. And and Turner was a Tony Khan.
Yep.
He just... I love wrestling. I want to be in the business.
Well, that's
now you go and do whatever. Eric.
That reminds me of another quote that I remember Vince McMahon saying in an interview about the Monday Night Wars. Like he's like, "Oh, Ted called me up and he said, hey, Vince, guess what? I'm in the wrestling business." And then I said to him, "Well, I'm not in the wrestling business. I'm in the entertainment. I'm in the television business.
The sports entertainment."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which was always bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on about Vince about this whole situation before, where he says the NWA and then WCW, well, they're not competition.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Real shit. Because you did everything that you could to counteract them. If they weren't competition, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Just would have went about your business.
He's like, "Oh, my competition is the rest of television."
Right. It's right. Like, well, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
That's like saying, it's like being like saying that you're in the music business, but saying, "No, I'm not in the music business. I'm in the entertainment business.
I'm in the entertainment business.
Yeah. I'm in the live entertainment business."
So, actually, okay, for the first step, like, I never learned anything new. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still entertaining.
Yeah. Like, some of those documentaries are like, They're good for like reminders, I guess, if mm-hmm. anything. But mm-hmm. like you said, I didn't watch the episode personally, but from what you told me, it's nothing I haven't already heard a million times. Like especially in the WWE back in like 2014 made this mini series called The Monday Night War, where they went through different periods of when WCW and WWF were going head to head with Nitro and Raw for how long was that now? That was from 95 till 2001 was when the Monday Night Wars took place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, we all know who won that.
Yeah.
But did they mention the fact that Nitro beat Monday Night Raw for 83 straight weeks?
Because it was Bischoff.
Yep.
83 weeks and all that. And I got to give it to him.
Yep.
I was cheering for WCW in the Monday Night War.
What a lot of people don't know is that it was 83 straight weeks, but it doesn't mean it was only those 83 weeks. There was mm-hmm. There was still some back and forth after the fact.
Right. But yeah, he had 83 straight weeks.
That goddamn finger poke of doom. that's what sealed it. And then spoiling Raw when Mick Foley won the world title.
That didn't do them any favors.
Nope.
Because everyone switched over to see it.
Yep. They wanted to see Mick Foley win the world title.
Yeah. Sometimes just keeping your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder if Schiavone said, oh, I bet that'll put butts in seats. I wonder if he said that on his own merit, if those were his own thoughts, or if Bischoff, like, was in his ear him to say that.
Yeah, because Bischoff was actually good for, you know, Schiavone, you got to lose some weight. You're on TV.
Mm.
You know, Sting, you're
too white.
You're too white. Go walk around the block and get some sun.
Even though he's painting his face.
You know, yeah, so I just like the Bischoff story is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how he went from nothing to toppling Vince for a while, and then it coming crashing down. It's an interesting episode. You're, like I said, you're not going to learn anything new if you're into it.
If he didn't have the assets of the company that already existed plus Ted Turner's checkbook,
right,
then WCW would have had no chance.
Nothing.
Because he essentially just poached all these guys from WWF and basically said, like, more money, less work. And Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were just kind of like, okay. Like,
yeah. But he, okay, yeah, like, the NWO was a New Japan or All Japan.
It was an idea, thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he brought it over. Let's not criticize him for that, because the Attitude Era was ECW. Like, that's totally all it is. And I've had conversations with wrestling fans saying, well, yeah, but they took it to the next level. Bullshit, that doesn't matter. Like, you take an idea from someone else.
They took Paul Heyman's idea and mainstreamed it.
Right.
With the hardcore division and the sex and drugs and rock and roll references. Like, right. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, because you took it to a national level, that it's your creation.
Yeah.
You know, just like the NWO, sorry, Eric, it's not your creation. But
that'd be like if Donald Trump said he invented hotels or Trump Plaza or universities.
That's right.
It's like, there's these places where people go to learn, very exquisite places, very great places. And now I have one, and it's going to be better than all of them.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I give Bischoff credit, you know, for everything that he did. Now, though, he definitely belongs in this story, in this series, and his name belongs on the list, because this is all, like, it's not just Bischoff. Mm-hmm. It's this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And they all had hands in it. And all of these hands all got together and destroyed WCW. So this is just the first episode, and I enjoyed it, and I will watch the rest.
I cannot wait for the Vince Russo episode.
The Russo one, the Kevin Nash one.
Yeah, the Kevin Dunn. Who was the booker? Fucking Dungeon of Doom. What was his name?
Kevin Sullivan?
Kevin Sullivan, yeah.
He came up with some Ryball stuff, too. That was, yeah. Yeah, it's...
Oh, What was the allies against Hulkamania or something, or
with the Dungeon of
initially they were going to be called the Final Solution, but then then they realized pretty quickly they couldn't do that.
So I'm looking forward to the next episode, and depending on how often we're able to do this, I'll give you my 2 cents
if I'm able to catch it. Like, I did have access to Crave through my brother-in-law's account, but it logged me out. So I just have to ask. He's kind of weird about giving passwords. So I'm always hesitant to like message him and be like, hey, can I have the password for Netflix or for Crave, please?
I kind of forget you have siblings, because I've never met any of them.
Because my only sister lives in Saskatoon.
Well, that's why. I have an older brother and a younger sister. No one in the scene has met them, because they're not part of the music scene.
My sister, you would never catch her at a metal show. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I don't know. One of these times for my birthday or whatever, I'm going to put on a metal show at one of our local venues. Mm-hmm. And then, you guys have to come out.
I did.
It's my birthday party.
Yeah. I did get my first Korn CD from my sister after she only got it because they were popular and on Much Music. Yeah, which, like, for our American listeners, is the Canadian equivalent to MTV.
Yeah, it's just as bad
it's
as MTV.
Just as bad.
Bad now, yeah. Yeah, don't worry, we're not getting something.
No, we're not getting something that you aren't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, like, after that trend ran its course, yeah, I was gifted the Korn CDs from her, and that's kind of how I got into heavy metal as it is.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Wow. So, horns up to Matt's sister.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, he's here doing this now because of that.
Yeah.
Right on. Kind of keeping WCW related. Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, the WWE has trademarked WCW.
Yeah.
Like, how and why and
well,
like, what the fuck?
Every trademark has an expiry date.
Oh, okay.
As you know. Like, or all I think right. It's like every trademark you have to re-up every 6 years, I think. I don't know. Okay. It might be different in the States. But up here, it's every 6 years I have to re-up the name Atomic 29 Productions. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think they tried to re-up it in 2020, but for whatever reason, they weren't able to. So... Hmm. Literally anybody could have taken WCW, but they didn't because they probably realized they wouldn't have access to any of the assets that went along with it.
Right.
Like the,
right.
Like the library that still belongs to WWE.
Right.
But the using the name for merchandising, purposes, I think is what they were going for. So I don't know if they just re-upped it just to be on the safe side of things or if they're going to be printing reprinting vintage t-shirts from WCW or potentially with the move to Netflix starting another brand maybe.
Would you be down for a new WCW?
No. Because after seeing what they did to ECW, no.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that was under Vince. So Vince basically revived WCW so he could kill it himself. That's what that's kind of what I felt out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like he became ECW champion and then he changed the belt to this silver boring looking thing and then announced that the show was going away. But because ECW went away, at least we got NXT. So there's that.
That works.
But yeah, and like I don't know if you know this, but when WWE or when WWF at the time initially bought WCW, the plan was to make Monday Night Raw a WCW show.
Right.
It was going to be called, I think it was going to be called WCW Raw, and then WWF show would be SmackDown. You'd think it would be the other way around, but
yeah.
at that time both shows were 2 hours, so it was kind of like one or the other. And they did that one test match where it was Booker T versus Buff Bagwell on an episode of Raw, and it failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
So then the entire idea was axed. They did the invasion angle, which was underwhelming.
No
it was cool.
Cared.
It was cool back in the day when I saw it as a teenager, but when I slowly realized that guys like Sting and Goldberg and Nash and Hogan and Hall weren't going to be involved
in it,
it was just all the mid-card guys. I mean, Diamond Dallas Page was there, but they didn't. Present and Booker T, but they weren't presented like how they were in WCW.
Right.
Jeff Jarrett was fired immediately. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like 25 years or 23 years now? Yeah, 23 years since the demise of WCW. I don't know if there's any.
Anyone cares?
I don't know if there's. Yeah, like anyone who was into WCW back in those days has moved way the fuck on. And, like, the average wrestling fan nowadays is far too young to even know what WCW is.
Right.
Like, a lot of them were born after the demise of the company. So,
yeah,
like, sure, they can market it as a nostalgia thing because it's been proven time and time again that nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
But it does wear off after a little while. So, well, who's to say really what they're going to do with it? This is all speculation on my part.
Right.
So, I don't know. To answer your question, no, I would not be excited for a WCW program because it would not have the same feel or the same look or anything the same that WCW had that made it what it was. So if you don't have Tony Schiavone and Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Professor Mike Tenay on commentary, you don't really have WCW.
You don't have it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm sure Larry Zbyszko is available, but I think I'm the only one interested in Larry Zbysko and in 2024.
Rick Flair. Like, yeah. Flair's in AEW. Hogan, right. I don't want to see him anywhere ever.
I'm done. I was done decades ago.
If they got, like, a group of, like, new wrestlers together, like, up-and-coming wrestlers, and, like, created a new NWO, that might pique my interest a little bit, but it's all in how they book it. But, right. Like, take a bunch of former Bullet Club guys that now work for WWE and make them the NWO. Yeah, AJ Styles and Finn Balor are now in the NWO.
That would just seem forced.
It would. And yeah, it's like, yeah. Kevin Nash is their manager. It's like,
oh, God.
Lord help us all.
Yeah, like I said, wait till we get to the Kevin Nash episode of Who Killed WCW.
Yeah, I am
that fucking guy.
I am convinced that Kevin Nash has never once enjoyed his time in professional wrestling. Like, he always seems so disinterested in what's going on. He never took anything seriously. It's like, it always just kind of seemed like he was there, like, if you ever tried to have a conversation with a guy about wrestling, he just kind of seems like he would just be like, yeah, well, yeah, they paid me. So I was
yeah,
like,
it is what it is. It was,
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, it always to him just seemed like it was a cash thing, like making money, like hold out for the most that you can get. Like,
yeah. So talking to him would be just as boring as his wrestling as Diesel.
Yeah. Yeah. WWF champion for a year, but during the worst financial time in the company's history.
Brutal.
Yeah. When Monday Night Raw had to be moved to the Manhattan Center away.
Yeah. So we'll have lots more Nash talk in the future, I'm sure. Okay, now to kind of bring this crazy train into the station, I figure it's time for this episode's Turnbuckle Talk.
I have no idea what we had a plan to talk about something else, which we will do for a future episode, but because Dustin's not here, we're changing it up a bit, and I have no idea what we're talking about. So this is a surprise.
We kind of put it on the fly, but it all came out in the wash because it's relevant, it works, and all of that. But before we get into tonight's topic, I did mention that at the top of the hop that it's your B-Day this weekend.
Yes.
And all that.
On this past Friday, 2 days ago at the time of recording.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So I got you a birthday present.
Oh, what the hell.
And like I said, it's going to work out with tonight's Turnbuckle Talk.
Okay.
I love it when a plan comes together. Anyone who knows me from the music scene or the wrestling scene knows that when I buy birthday presents,
there's meaning behind
it. I buy magazines.
Oh, okay. Magazines.
In my hot little fist here
is the newest edition of...
Here you go, my friend. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It is the new issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Okay.
With Cody Rhodes on the cover
Cody Rhodes on the cover.
Being hoisted up by Sami Zayn and Jey Uso.
Yeah. And I always make sure to get this special issue. Okay, ever since I was reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated the last 40, 50, 90 years now, they always had, around this time, post-WrestleMania, the Super Cards episode.
Okay.
Now, at one time, you know, you would have WrestleMania, and then the NWA would have a big card, World Class would have Parade of Champions, the AWA would have a stadium show. It's getting harder and harder now to come up with Super Cards. Mm-hmm. That's why we have, you know, WrestleMania 40, AEW Revolution, the Windy City Riot, you know, 18 Karat Gold, TNA Sacrifices, the Super 8 Tournament, and all that. Some of these aren't exactly Super Cards, but I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I always did the last 40 years, okay, is when you go to the back, and you will find the ratings system, page 78 and 79. If you're a reader of PWI, which you should be, there's only two wrestling magazines on the on the racks anymore, Pro Wrestling Illustrated and Inside the Ropes in England. Those are $20 each, though, so they're a little I bought like one inside the ropes because Cornette was on the cover. and all that. Well, for the last 40 years or whatever, reading not only PWI, but their sister magazines, Inside Wrestling and The Wrestler and Sports Review Wrestling and all that, they always, but particularly for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, in their rating system, okay, they would have one column NWA, another column WWF at the time, AWA, World Class, UWF and all that. And what I did, okay, is I would kind of in my own head go head to head. Like in one column you'd have the NWA, one column you'd have the WWF. Well, the champion Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan in my head. Who would win? And then the first, the top contender, which was the Intercontinental Champion. And then the U.S. champion. Okay, whoever they might be, who would win? I would pick a winner. I did, you know, and then the number two guy, both federations, the number three guy, you know. And, and then I would do that, the AWA against the UWF, the champion versus champion, you know, number one contender versus number one contender and all that. To this day, like, there are some things that I do, okay, like, all of my interests, all of my pop culture interests that I had as a kid and into my teenagers, heavy metal, horror films, pro wrestling, I'm still into them big time. I've, the last 4 years or so, I've gotten back into comic books as well. So there are some things as a kid that I still do. When I was a kid, okay, when we would sit down and have dinner, okay, Monday to Friday, and then most Sundays, mom and dad it would be a meat, a vegetable, and a starch, potato, rice, noodles. Okay, that was the meal. On the weekends, we would order pizza or have spaghetti or something fun. I love, as an adult, now on a Wednesday, like going to the Popeyes down the road because I can.
Yeah.
you know, and we're in, like, Mrs. Snowy and I were in Popeyes having a fun meal on a Wednesday. And I'm just giddy.
Because you knew that your parents would not approve.
They would not approve of it, but it doesn't matter. Even if they were still with us, it doesn't matter because I'm a grode. And I can have whatever the hell I want, whenever I want. Okay. What I would do, though, when we would have the meat, the starch, and the vegetables, I would always eat the vegetables right away.
Okay.
Get them out of the way. That's the boring stuff. To this day, every time, we could be at a restaurant with a coleslaw on the side in its own little dish.
You eat that first.
I eat the coleslaw first before I touch anything else. Okay, so my point is, to this day, what I was talking about doing the head-to-head, in my head, there's the name of this episode, head-to-head in our heads.
Head-to-head in your head.
Okay, I still do that every episode. And for the first time ever, I have someone to do this with. Thank you. Thank you. Now, though, our good friends at the Shining Wizards podcast, part of the Shining Wizards Network, okay, Tony has brought this same idea to the table for the other guys, where they've been doing the same thing, except they were doing... Tony would, because he's an old time reader of the After Mags as I am. So he goes and gets a old PWI. The last episode they did 1984. Okay. One of those issues. And it's a really good listen, obviously, for a guy like me that been there, done that, hearing other people talking, you know, this is really a good thing. But so they're now doing it, okay? And so I don't want to sound like, you know, like I've been doing this in my own head for 40 years, but I don't want to sound like I'm taking Tony's idea. or anything, but I figured, so what we'll do for this one special episode, since it's your birthday and we're both PWI richer here, I figured we would do that.
Okay.
Now, the ratings pages, this is for the period ending April 21st, 2024, because it takes a good 2 months to get, you know, a new issue out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there have been many times where I've bought a wrestling magazine, and it's about Sergeant Slaughter in the AWA, and he's already debuted in the WWF, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like, okay, there's the 2 month waiting period. Okay, so that's kind of important when we kind of get this to ourselves. Now, the ratings are a little bit different. There is a lot more ratings now, and they're broken up into five instead of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Raw and SmackDown have the top five because...
For men and women.
For men and women,
yeah.
Now. Because there are just... And thank goodness for this. Mm-hmm. I love it. There are so many great women wrestling right now in all of the federations.
Yep, and I also noticed that they have New Japan Pro Wrestling has Stardom instead. So, right. Yeah.
Right. So I figured what we're kind of going to do is we'll kind of go head-to-head in the top five.
Okay.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer Raw or SmackDown?
For men or for women or just in general?
For men.
Let's Raw see. Or SmackDown for men? For top five.
Like which of the two federations? Which of the two do you prefer? Which brand? Just your personal favorite? I just have to pick a brand here.
Yeah, I'll go for Raw.
Raw.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go with Raw head to head in our heads against AEW.
Okay.
So you see them there.
Yep.
Okay. So let's start off with the champions.
Yep.
Damian Priest versus Swerve Strickland. Who do you got?
I think it would be a very good match, and I think those two guys' styles would complement each other very well. At the end of the day, though, I'd have to give it to Priest.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we're probably going to need a tiebreaker here because I really like how far Strickland has come in the last 6 months. Okay, like I barely even knew this guy existed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then he had that really horrible angle with Hangman Page.
Oh, yeah, where
and
he was
the
like,
only thing, yeah, you know, when he was invasion, breaking into the house and, you know, in the baby's room and all that. And it's like, oh, this is really creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
But they did so much with him.
Yeah.
And he's actually, apart from his manager's goofy dancing on the way.
Prince Nana, yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging what they're doing with Strickland.
Yeah, like we've said before, it kind of feels weird turning him to the biggest face in the company so shortly after, like, he did that home invasion angle with Hangman Adam Page. But... You know, like, I guess it's wrestling. You got guys like Randy Orton that can turn face after some of the stuff that he's done. So.
Oh, geez, yeah. And just 1 week, he's the biggest scum. And that's not just Randy Orton. It's so many wrestlers
Triple
over
H.
the years.
Like,
yeah.
Well, JR used to have me convinced that Triple H was the worst man alive.
damn you, Triple H.
But then.
Damn your soul.
A month later, he's a good guy and. Wrestling fans are so forgiving.
Oh, I know.
They could burn down a bus full of orphans and nuns.
They could burn down a pet shelter.
That's right. But as soon as they turned on the bad guys and became a face, all would be forgiven.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's not so bad.
Yeah. So, top contenders, Sami Zayn and Adam Copeland. I guess because Zayn is Intercontinental
champion. Yeah.
And Copeland is one of the...
He was TNT champion up until recently.
Right. So I guess that's why they have them at number one.
Yeah.
So Zayn versus Adam...
Adam Copeland.
Adam Impact.
Edge.
Adam, yeah. Edge.
Jeez. I don't know. I would give it to Sami Zayn because, like, I love both. Both good old Canadian boys.
Mm-hmm.
One's from Toronto, one's from Montreal. But, yeah, I think Sami Zayn would be able to get the upper hand on Cope because, like, it would be, again, it would be a fantastic match. And there'd be a lot of back and forth, but I feel that, there would be a spot there where Edge would hit the spear on Sami, but Sami would kick out at the last possible second. And, right. Yeah, I feel that, yeah, I feel that given that this match would give Sami Zayn the edge.
Yeah, I would be cheering for Adam Impact, yep. Adam Copeland. Yeah, I'm going to call him Impact because I'm a smart ass.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a betting man and you bet it on wrestling, yeah, I would go with Zayn.
Right.
I think it would be an absolutely fantastic match.
Yeah.
Number two, Raw, Drew McIntyre.
Or and Samoa Joe.
AEW, Samoan Joe there.
Joey Samoa. Well, yeah. Well, when you talk about Samoa Joe, you gotta talk about math and numbers and 33 1/3% chance. But if it was the WWE version of Samoa Joe, I'd obviously go with Drew McIntyre. But this version of Samoa Joe, ruthless, and yeah, it's like the Samoa Joe of old from the Ring of Honor and TNA days, more or less. This Samoa Joe, I believe, would again, it would be a hell of a fight. Both are very big men, and both can throw a punch. And Drew McIntyre's got that headbutt, but you know what they say about headbutting a Samoan? You don't do it.
<That's right.
laughs> So, yeah, I think Samoa Joe would pull out the victory in this one. Probably would knock him out with the Coquina Clutch. And it wouldn't be a pinfall victory, but he would choke him out for sure.
I agree with that, mm-hmm. And I would cheer for Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, number three.
Jey Uso,
who's the good guy now. Yeah. He turned face.
Yep.
Versus Roderick Strong.
That's a tough one because, like, Jey Uso is on the upswing. Roderick Strong hasn't really been, like, presented like how he has been in Ring of Honor and NXT.
Right.
Since he's come to AEW.
Yeah, they gave him that international title. But,
yeah, but then he lost it to Will Ospreay.
Which everyone saw coming.
Oh, of course.
Like, there was no doubt about that.
No doubt about it. So if it's the AEW version of Roderick Strong, I'd have to give it to main event Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Of course. If this was like the NXT and Ring of Honor, like the Messiah of the Backbreaker, that Roderick Strong, not this goof in a neck brace going, Adam!
That's right. Yes.
Still an amazing wrestler, but the way he's being presented, I can't see him going
not
over Jey Uso.
No. So, yeah, once again, cheering for Roddy because I'm an old Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah.
But I see Uso going over.
Yeah, this next one,
Seth Rollins for Raw, Will Ospreay for AEW.
Boy, that's a tough one. But it would be a great match again. And, I don't think this match has ever happened. Ever, not even on the indies.
No, I can't think of.
Yeah. I would have to give it to Ospreay. Because, like, even though Rollins is, like, one of WWE's top guys, and, like, I don't know. Like, both guys have suffered injuries that where they can't be as fast as they used to be. But after seeing Ospreay's match with Bryan Danielson at Dynasty a couple months ago, I don't know. Like, I would have to imagine that Will Ospreay would, if he can beat Bryan Danielson, he can beat Seth Rollins. So
definitely, yes.
Yeah, so I'm giving the edge to Will Ospreay. And he's on the upswing. International champion, number one contender for the world championship now, too, in AEW. So, yeah, this guy is getting his superstar appreciation push in another company. So,
yeah.
Very similar to how Seth Rollins did about 10 years ago.
I'll take Ospreay.
Yeah.
And I'm cheering for him.
Uh-huh.
To me, for the longest time, the coolest thing about Seth Rollins has been his last name.
Rollins?
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
That's it
for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of Seth Rollins dote.
Yeah. I still appreciate Seth Rollins, and he's, I'm glad he's taking a break to heal up some minor injuries now. So
I think every wrestler should be given that opportunity.
Not like not like what Vince said to Randy Orton which we recently found out about. Oh, I need you on those shows, Randy. Yeah, Mother Nature comes for us all.
Even though you're one bump away from being in a wheelchair, you better be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave you an opportunity.
Finally, for these two head-to-head in our heads, Gunther
versus Kazuchika Okada. My God.
Wow.
Oh, that's a tough one.
This is a money match.
This is a dream match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have very few dream matches these days.
Yeah.
This is definitely one.
Damn, the King of the Ring. The King of the Ring, Gunther, versus the Continental Crown Champion, Kazuchika Okada. How fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kazuchika's belt that he has right now has a crown on it, and Walter has an actual crown. I don't know. It would be a lot of back and forth, because these two guys, they're not so much known for their flippy stuff. Right. They are heavy hitters. Both of these guys are heavy hitters. Kazuchika Okada is a big man.
He's
over 6 feet tall. Yeah. And he's got that clothesline, the Rainmaker, that has taken many people's heads off. But Gunter's got those chops. And I imagine that Okada could sell those chops so well. It's those chops versus the clothesline, the Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man. I think it would be great. I would build this match to have, like, both guys avoiding each of those moves for the entire duration of the match. And then when one of them eventually gets hit with it, that's it.
Right.
Like, each guy is able to give each other everything else in their arsenal except for their finishing moves.
Right.
And, like, they keep avoiding the finishing moves, but the second one guy is able to get it, that's it. Whether it's the Rainmaker or the Chop. But I think I got to give this one to Gunter.
He's bigger.
He's a little bit bigger. And Gunter is not the same wrestler that Walter was. He's trimmer and he's faster and he can do a drop kick. But also, incorporating that power bomb and the Boston Crab into the mix too. He's quite a different wrestler than Walter is. But then again, the AEW Okada is not the same as the New Japan Okada.
That was going to be my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a chicken shit heel in AEW.
Right.
Yeah.
I would still cheer for Okada.
Yeah.
But
given the way their characters are presented
right now, I would go with Gunther.
The current continental champion versus the longest reigning intercontinental champion.
So
I would go with Gunther. So
that's with the men's. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the women's, do you want to keep with Raw?
No, with the women's, I will go with let's go with SmackDown for the women.
SmackDown, yeah. Okay. So same idea.
Yeah.
Head to head in our heads. At this moment, is Bayley still the SmackDown champion?
She is.
Okay. Yeah. So we got Bayley versus Toni Storm.
Yeah, Toni Storm is still the women's world champion on AEW. So
yeah.
Bayley versus Toni Storm. Damn.
Starting off hard.
Yeah. So to speak. I would. Jeez, I don't. Oh, man, this is a tough one. Because I love both of them. I think they're both great.
They are fantastic.
But, I'd give it to Toni Storm. Like, the promos would be more entertaining than the match, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think it's a case of
mm-hmm.
cheering for Bayley,
mm-hmm.
but I could see Storm winning through chicanery.
Yeah, interference from her
yeah.
lackeys. Yeah,
yeah,
possibly.
Okay, the number one contenders, Io Sky versus Willow Nightingale.
Hmm. Again, it would be a great match. These two have very different styles that I think would call, like, Io's a high flyer and Willow is more of a powerhouse. So,
right.
But she can go off the top rope when she needs to. But in the end, I think Io's speed and agility and the top rope moonsault would end up getting the better of Willow Nightingale.
I can see yeah. that. I'll agree with that. And as to who I would cheer for,
I'd cheer for either or.
Yeah.
Or I'd cheer for both. Yeah. Just have yeah. fun. Just have fun.
Number two contenders, Naomi for SmackDown, Julia Hart for AEW.
Julia Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying Naomi doesn't have talent and that she's yeah, not good in the ring, but
I don't know. I was never a Naomi person.
Neither was I even when she was Trinity or yeah, Naomi.
Even in TNA, you know, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. TNA could use the talent and the name,
yeah.
but once again, didn't move the needle because everyone wants to see Naomi, not Trinity.
Yep, and Julia Hart, I love the look and the character, and
yeah.
She is probably one of the fastest... Like, or she's out injured now, unfortunately, but the way her skills as an in-ring performer have developed over such a short period of time.
Oh, definitely.
She's become like fun to watch in the ring, and her character development going from the varsity cheerleader into this dark brooding yeah. goth princess.
And it's worked. It's worked. Yeah. I have to, even on this show, I said, oh, I don't know about this new look and all that. I don't think it's going to, you know.
Yeah, but we were wrong.
It's working. We
I love what I'm proved wrong about.
Definitely, things. Yes, yeah. for fun things. Yeah. Yes. You know those, that meme, the two couples are in bed, the guy's got his back to her,
yeah.
and he's thinking about something, and she's, I bet you he's thinking about other women,
yeah.
but it's other... He's talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mrs. Snowy and I, we had a real life thing
yeah.
with this. Okay. When I first saw Julia Hart, when she was doing the cheerleader for the
phony blondes.
Varsity club, yeah. you know, you know, and I saw the name Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately grabbed my phone, Googled Julia Hart because
yeah, don't,
I yeah. wanted to see if
there was any she relation.
Was there any relation to the Hart family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Mrs. Noy sees me immediately Googling, and she's like, oh, yeah, you saw Pretty Blonde on TV, and, you, of course, you got to Google her. I said, yeah. I want to know if she's, like, a niece of the Harts.
Yeah.
Or a daughter and all that. Well, that was us, Mrs. Noy. Bet you... I bet you he's thinking about other women.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
So, you got to see if she's a part of the family.
I got to see. Yeah. I got to, you know, it's something geeky.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, we had a real life moment
mm-hmm.
like that. I'll never forget it. Yeah. Next up, Tiffany Stratton.
And Mariah May.
Mariah May.
Coincidentally enough, when Mariah May debuted in AEW, I thought it was Tiffany Stratton for a minute.
Yes.
You
got a coin?
Yeah. like appearance-wise, these two are identical. Yeah.
They should be a tag team.
Yeah.
In the Blonde Bombshells yeah. or something.
But I haven't seen much of Mariah May's work. Outside of AEW, so I don't know how good she actually is.
Right.
So I'm just gonna have to give it to Tiffany Stratton
because
I know how good she is. Like,
all right, well, yeah, I just have more exposure to May.
I guess yeah, since you don't watch SmackDown on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like her character in AEW, just being like the understudy of Tony Storm.
Yeah,
it's like. I'm not saying she's bad in the ring. She's got history in Japan. Like I just haven't like gone to look at it. So, like I said, I don't know really how good she truly is.
Right.
So I got to give it to Tiffany Stratton because I know how good Stratton is.
Okay. I'm gonna go with May. Stratton maybe would win, but I'd be cheering for May just because I do have a preference of AEW over SmackDown or over the WWE.
Yeah.
Number four, Jade Cargill versus Deonna Purrazzo.
Funny enough, these two used to be in the, like, Deonna Purrazzo used to be in NXT and Jade Cargill used to be in AEW. I go with Deonna Purrazzo for this one, or as Tony Storm calls her, Donna Pazzo.
I would definitely cheer. Deonna Purrazzo is one of my, I don't like the word things, but she's one of my favorite things in pro wrestling right now. In my top 10 of reasons to watch pro wrestling, I really dig the quote unquote character, and she's got a hell of a work rate. Cargill's getting pushed to the moon.
Yeah.
So if it's a WWF booker, it's going to be Cargill.
She already has. Well, she only lost one AEW match. Yeah. Too, so.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. But,
yeah. If it's an independent booker, and I don't always think about booking, I kind of play it kayfabe as well. But in this case, an independent booker is going, who knows a thing or two about work rate, you know, Purrazzo's got it all over Cargill. So in that capacity, I would go with Purrazzo, and I'm definitely cheering for her. Because I cheer for Purrazzo over most.
Yep.
Bianca Belair versus Thunder Rosa.
That's a tough one.
Well,
I know you would go for Thunder
Rosa. For both. You know, because once again, that's a thing that I tune into wrestling for is Thunder Rosa, and she's got an absolutely amazing work rate, and I see nothing but her hair gimmick in Belair. Yeah, I guess she's kind of got a good work rate, but she doesn't impress me.
Super athletic, but
and then when I found out, and this is kind of going off topic, but she has a TV show with her husband.
Yeah. No, she's not married to an Uso. She's married to one half of the Street Profits, Montez Ford.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, who's one of the Usos are married to one of them?
Yeah, Trinity is married to Naomi. Naomi's married to Jimmy Uso.
Well, I found out on this program with Belair and Montez that her hair is an extension.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that. I totally bought that it was real.
No, it's a weave.
And I got so mad.
Yeah. Okay. So technically it's a foreign object. Yeah. When she's whipping people with her hair.
Okay, why would you expose that? What purpose does it serve to show that it's fake? Like, that's the thing that she's most noted for. It's just, oh, God. I never even saw this stupid show, and I was mad.
Yeah, her braid that she's used to whip people with in matches is a weave. It's not real, yeah. Right. Which, like, you'd think would count as a foreign object, which would lead to a disqualification, but...
Yeah, but...
Apparently not.
You know, wrestling.
Wrestling!
That's wrestling, yeah. Okay, how about we go TNA? What do you don't really follow the NWA?
Not really.
So how about we go TNA versus NXT?
Yeah, may as well do that.
And then we'll kind of wrap it up from here.
Yeah.
I think Battleground's going to be on right away.
Yeah, it's already started.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll do these two.
Okay.
And then we'll tap out.
Okay. So okay.
So TNA versus NXT.
NXT
is Dragunov still NXT champion?
Dragunov is actually on Raw now.
Okay, who is NXT champion?
Trick Williams. And he's the NXT champion now, and he's actually facing Ethan Page on NXT tonight.
Good. Okay, so we'll play by PWI rules April 21st.
Okay.
Okay, so the champions.
Moose.
Versus Dragunov, Ilya Dragunov.
Well, Moose is a powerhouse, but Dragunov, once he gets going, he is hard to stop. So I've seen Dragunov tap out Walter. So if Dragunov can take Walter, I think he can take Moose. So I'm going with Dragunov.
Okay. I kind of got the same idea.
Yeah.
But Moose is definitely a dark horse.
Yeah.
In all of this. And now with his gang, The System.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
That's another thing.
With Myers and Edwards.
Yeah. Right. So I'd be cheering for Dragunov, but Moose winning.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Mustafa Ali versus Oba Femi.
What is an Oba Femi?
Oba Femi is the current North American champion.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mustafa Ali, I guess, is the X Division champion?
He is,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which, here's another guy. Last month's Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And he's being pushed to the moon, and he's getting a lot of good attention. They're booking him really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll go with Ali only because I don't know what an Oba Femi is.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is right before Ali was released, he was in a storyline involving the North American Championship. And then he got released, and it's like, oh, well, I guess we got to drop that. So, Oba Femi is a powerhouse. He's a huge guy, whereas Mustafa Ali is the exact opposite of that. High flyer, small dude. So really, it's a David versus Goliath match.
Well, then I'm definitely cheering for Ali. Then.
Yeah, I would go for Ali in that one as well.
Okay. Second, number two contender, Josh Alexander versus TNA versus Trick Williams.
I'd have to give it to Josh.
He's the number one reason I tune into wrestling this day and age.
Nothing against Trick Williams. He's been over with the NXT crowd for a while. The whole whoop that trick thing is over as all hell. So, even Booker T on commentary goes with it. Everyone in the audience to his music is just going, whoop that trick. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's Booker T being Booker T. But
Josh Alexander, he's the best thing going.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's got down to the singlet and the headgear. Mm-hmm. He's a wrestler's wrestler.
He's this, I don't want to say generation because Kurt Angle's not that old, but he's this generation's Kurt Angle.
To an extent, Chad Gable is as well in terms of how he's presented and the character that he's now playing.
Right. So, I'm taking Alexander and I'm cheering for him.
Yep. Well, it's kind of funny that Josh Alexander is with Trick Williams in this when Trick Williams is facing Ethan Page in real life tonight. Because Josh Alexander and Ethan Page used to be a team called the North.
The North in Impact. That's right. That's right. Okay.
How about it?
I'm looking forward. I don't know anything about NXT.
Yeah.
I kind of fell off the grid, but the more we've been talking, this is starting to sound pretty good. I'm looking forward to watching it now.
And the pay per view is it's not in an arena, it's at the NXT Apex, or sorry, the UFC Apex, which is like a smaller venue similar to the NXT arena, but it's just going to be a little bit different, and I'm actually looking forward to a change of scenery,
okay,
not your standard arena setup and not the standard NXT setup, so
right on.
Yeah,
right
it'll on. Be fun to see. Okay, so next we got
TNA number three, Nick Nemeth, which I guess that's
Dolph Ziggler
against
Dominik Dijak.
Okay, I kind of know this guy, but I'm taking Nemeth. I'm both cheering and taking
I've
him.
Always loved Dolph Ziggler. And Nick Nemeth. When he showed up at TNA, I was just like, not what I was expecting, but okay. I was expecting him to show up in AEW. But
I marked out.
For sure.
And no, they didn't put the title on him, but I was kind of expecting them to, so when that never happened, Okay, great. Uh-huh. You know, let's see what else they can do with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not sure who Hammerstone is.
Not familiar. Alex Hammerstone is he's not tall, but he's built
wide.
Yeah.
Okay. Stocky. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was part of the dynasty in MLW with MJF.
Okay.
And Richard Holiday.
Okay.
And he was kind of the muscle.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he was the number one thing in MLW for a while. But I knew someone was going to pick him up. And I'm glad it was TNA. Him and Alexander have had some amazing matches.
Alex Hammerstone, you said his name was?
Yeah, his name was Alex Hammerstone. Now he's just under the name Hammerstone.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Does he look familiar?
A little bit. A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Versus Noam Dar?
Noam Dar.
Okay.
Which
Noam.
I don't know who Noam Dar is.
He was,
I don't care.
Yeah, well, he's a bit of a, his character is a bit of a joke now in NXT, but when he was in NXT UK, he was like a lot more serious. But if we're going with like their present characters and presentation, yeah, well, from what you just explained to me and what I just saw, what he looked like, yeah, Hammerstone would mop the floor with Noam Dar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And last for the men's, Frankie Kazarian.
Versus Lexus King. Or for those who don't know, it's Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah. Which I'm not going to hold this against King because it was obviously a WWF thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's stupid. Like, Brian Pillman Jr. is okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Oh, that's it. I didn't mean that as a pun.
Yeah.
With Kurt Hennig, perfect.
Yeah.
Instead of calling him Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
That was a total accident. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would have just stuck with Brian Pillman Jr., but I don't know how well Lexus King is doing.
He's not really showing up on any news feeds or anything, so I don't really think he's being used all that
much
in NXT. I guess give Kaz, like,
yeah,
because
he's all over Impact.
Yeah, well, and he's a TNA original from what I remember back in the
day,
back when he looked like Antonio Banderas with the wet long hair.
Yeah. So yeah, cheering for Kazarian, mm-hmm. and I will take him.
Yeah, like I hope Lexus King eventually goes back to being Brian Pillman Jr. and. Yeah. What's up?
Okay, this is interesting.
Oh, what's up?
Okay, because when we get to the women, okay, TNA Knockouts.
Versus?
Jordan Grace.
Versus Roxanne Perez.
Perez.
We're going to see that tonight.
We're going to see that tonight.
So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm definitely cheering for Jordan Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Grace over most.
Yeah.
She's one of the reasons to tune into
wrestling. They're both Texas girls, from what I can see here.
And yeah. And she was Roxy.
Yeah.
In Ring of Honor. And I knew she was going places. Okay. We'll use tonight as the template.
Okay.
Since it's actually going to happen.
Yep.
Prez is going to win through chicanery, but I'm cheering for Grace.
Someone will debut or turn heel
to favor
Roxanne.
Which I think that's what we said
earlier
today. Yep. Oh, I love it when shit comes together like this.
You heard it here first.
That's right.
Yeah.
Number one contender, Steph DeLander.
Versus Lyra Valkyria.
Lyla Valkyria.
Lyra.
Okay. Yeah. Which I don't know anything about her.
Former NXT Women's Champion. She's currently on Raw now, though. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But,
well,
Steph DeLander is no slouch. She used to be in NXT as well. She was Persia Parada before she got released. Yeah.
And she's one of those reasons, her and Matt Cardona.
Yep.
They're in the top 10 reasons for me
mm-hmm.
to tune into pro wrestling.
Okay.
Which there's a turnbuckle talk.
Yeah, for sure.
We do so much, and not only us, but so many people Wrestling fans are like Star Wars fans. Nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
Yep.
Nobody hates wrestling more than wrestling fans.
Nobody hates metal more than metalheads.
Metal fans. What we have to do when the three of us are together is just our own top 10 best reasons to tune into wrestling. Something positive to say. So.
But someone will get offended.
We'll piss someone off.
So, Steph or Lyra?
I don't know who Valkyria is.
The way she's being presented, and like she's really good too. I would take Lyra Valkyria over Steph DeLander, because like Lyra's the more the honorable like babyface fighter, whereas Steph DeLander is the heel, the chicken shit heel.
And DeLander does more
mic work than
and shit disturbing ringside.
Yep,
which I remember calling Francine a shit disturber to my mom.
Oh yeah,
when she actually took a moment out to watch ECW with me, and I'm like, no, you can go away, I don't want you watching this,
please.
Well, who's this Francine girl? Well, you know, she's a manager and she's just there to shit disturb at ringside. And my mom's like, well, isn't that all women? Isn't that what all you guys think? We're all a bunch of shit disturbers. It's like, Mom, go away.
Please just leave.
Just leave. I don't want you watching ECW. I didn't let our daughter, she was too young to watch that. We let her watch Nitro if she was still up, and we took her to the local leagues. But the Attitude Era and ECW, that was not for Little Snowy.
Mm-hmm.
No. So... okay, you know what? I think Valkyria will win.
Yeah.
Probably cheer for DeLander, though.
Unless Matt Cardona gets involved somehow and costs her the match.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
Ash by Elegance, formerly Dana Brooke in the WWE.
Right,
yeah.
Which I hate that so much.
Yeah, I do
Ash
too.
Ash by Elegance. It's a stupid name. Okay, you probably can't call her Dana Brooks.
No.
But can you say Ashley Brooke with an E instead of S? You know, like
her name is Dana Brooke. So it was Dana Brooke in WWE. So
then I don't know. Okay, then what is this Ash by Elegance bullshit? No one cares about Ash by it. I'm yelling to you.
Well, nobody cared about her when she was Dana Brooke either. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but at least someone knows that name.
Yeah.
At least.
But
on the other hand, I don't know who Thea Hale is.
She's part of the Chase University group in NXT. She's very young. I think she's like 19 or 20. And her whole gimmick is that she just gets riled up really easy. Like, she's basically the human embodiment of caffeine.
Oh, okay.
Or it's like if espresso was a living, breathing human, that would be Thea Hale. Just gets so jacked up on school spirit and just needs to get out there and go. So I would give that one to Thea Hale, to be honest with you, over Ash by Elegance.
I would definitely be cheering for this Thea Hale.
Yeah.
Okay. But I could see some chicanery with Ash by Elegance and her manager and all
that. I don't really know enough about the Ash by Elegance character, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so. It's basically if Paris Hilton was a wrestler.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rosemary.
Versus Fallon Henley.
Fallon Henry. Henley. I don't know who is that.
She recently turned heel. She's like that. She was the female companion to the Brooks and Jensen tag team, and they were like these country people. But she recently turned heel and
I know who you're talking about now. For the little bit of everyone
she was the last person that Tiffany Stratton feuded with at NXT when they lost a match, and Tiffany Stratton had to work on the farm with her for a little bit. That was the condition of the match,
right? Von Erich Sunshine. All right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I do remember that.
I like how it says that Rosemary is from Winnipeg, Manitoba here.
Yeah. Because she is.
Yep.
And she's my girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cheering for her. And I would never say anyone would ever beat her.
Yep.
Because I'm.
No, I would
I'm
go.
Really,
I,
I'm really biased, though.
I would definitely go with Rosemary on this one.
Okay. Good. Good.
So we're Number four, I do not know who Dani Luna is.
She's relatively new, hasn't had a whole lot. So yeah, I don't, so is
Lola Vice. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why Luna is rated so high. Yeah. Honestly.
Well, Lola Vice won the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. Which like winning that is kind of like NXT's version of Money in the Bank. So you have a contract for a title shot anywhere at any time. But I think she had that. She went to go use it, but then lost because you went to go cash it in on Lyra Valkyria, but eventually did not get it. So. And right tonight, I think Lola Vice is facing Shayna Baszler in a NXT Underground match, which is where they take the ropes off and basically do it UFC style. Oh, yeah, it's going to be horrible, I assure you. Right. I don't know if they're going to take the ropes off the ring to do it or if they're going to try to do it in some sort of an octagon-like structure. But as Michael Cole would probably call it.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just gonna toss up and say Lola Vice just so we can move on.
Yeah, I would cheer for TN. I would cheer for Luna, but I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Vice.
Okay.
And finally,
Xia Brookside versus Tatum Paxley.
I don't know a Tatum Paxley. I do know a Xia Brookside. Okay.
I like Tatum Paxley. She's her character is that she's like that. That girl who never fit in anywhere, but now and she is a legit metalhead too.
Oh, yep. Ooh, that scores points. Yeah,
Xia Brookside. I know her dad was a wrestler, so she's second generation. Her dad was like apparently a very well known British wrestler.
Okay.
I think she used to be in NXT UK, but don't quote me on that.
Right.
But because I know Tatum more, I would go with Tatum Paxley. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I know more about Brookside, and she's coming along mm-hmm. really well, and she seems to be getting over.
Mm-hmm.
But once you said she was a legit metalhead, that's when I kind of tend to...
Her whole gimmick is that she's that, like, that goth girl that never really fit in anywhere, and she has trouble making friends. And
here we go.
She became like she had this storyline where she became infatuated with Lyra Valkyria when she was NXT champion, and they were like best friends, but it was like a one-sided best friends type thing. Then after Lyra lost the NXT Women's title, she turned on her because it turned out the only reason she wanted to be her friend was because she was NXT Women's champion.
Fair enough.
So yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she's in a match tonight.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Okay, definitely cheering for Paxley.
Okay. But going betting on Brookside?
Yeah, I think maybe she's just got the pedigree.
Okay.
So,
when you say that, you don't mean that her finishing move is the pedigree? Okay. Okay.
No. She's the real expression mm-hmm. or the real meaning of the word. The word pedigree.
Okay.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Because this I could go all night with this.
We could go fantasy booking all night with these stats here.
Yeah.
Comparing and contrasting.
But maybe, you know, we'll do this again next year.
Maybe
with this particular issue.
I mean, if this is out for 2 months, maybe we could do it next episode. Who knows? But who knows? I guess next episode we have that other turnbuckle talk that we had to put on hold.
We have that,
but
so enjoy.
I will. I'll flip through this tonight and tomorrow. I still have tomorrow off work. So
good.
But with that,
and yeah, maybe it is now time to bring this crazy train in to the station. Once again, we apologize. Our third horse person was not available tonight, like we said at the top of the hop.
Got called into work.
Life has priorities.
Yep.
In the meantime and in between time, make sure to check out the Shining Wizards Network.
Yep.
If you're listening to this show from some other podcast aggregator or whatever. We want to send you to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. There's a whole slew of predominantly pro wrestling podcasts, but there's other pop culture podcasts as well, including if you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy, you might want to, you know, check it out on the Shining Wizards Network, one Radioactive Metal, where me and my co-host, we sit down and discuss all things going on, not only in the world of, you know, of heavy metal, but just geek lifestyle itself.
Yeah, like
just
for sure.
Over the past year or so, Aaron has been kind of sneaking in more geek related stuff.
Well, I mean, we do that too.
We do that too. Yeah. So our metal fix is basically turned into the geek fix.
Nice. Well,
and all that. Which, hey, metalheads are.
It's a fandom with geeks. So
yeah. Horror films, heavy metal, wrestling. Yeah, we're all geeks.
Any fandom that has statistics that you need to like know and like look up on and like to really understand the whole thing. Yeah.
Right on. So yeah, in the meantime, in between time, that's it. This has been a head-to-head in our heads episode. We'll go with that.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.